North Korea announced yesterday that it will try two Americans, Jeffrey Fowley and Matthew Todd Miller. Their families say they were just tourists. North Korea says they committed hostile acts like leaving a Bible in a hotel room. The country already convicted missionary Kenneth Bay on those charges. He's serving 15 years hard labor. And they join a list of Americans held abroad, from a jailed contractor in Cuba to journalists like James Foley, kidnapped in Syria in 2012, maybe by the Islamist group ISIS, maybe by the Assad regime. And after Sergeant Bo Bergdahl was swapped for five Guantanamo detainees in a deal negotiated by Qatar, a family in Pennsylvania came forward to say their daughter was also being held by the Taliban. How many others are being held by foreign governments or terrorist groups? Well, Mark Lagone teaches at Georgetown University. He's a senior fellow for human rights at the Council on Foreign Relations. He joins us now with a partial list. And Mark, the longest held American is FBI agent Bob Levinson. He went missing in Iran nearly 8 years ago, but Iranian officials say they don't know where he is.
It's an interesting case. He disappeared on the Iranian island of Kish. We believe that he was investigating cigarette smuggling. As information has come out, it appears that he was sent at the behest of CIA analysts who did not have authority to dispatch operational work by intelligence. We don't know that he's still alive. He would have been 66 at this point, but it's not quite clear who's holding him.
You say the CIA didn't have authority to send him, but is it clear that they did, and who at the top knew?
It appears that he was sent. But the arm of the CIA, of analysts sending him, aren't in a position to run operations. So the cover of investigating cigarette smuggling, it's not clear what it was actually pursuing.
Just a lot of mystery surrounding Bob Levinson. What about Warren Weinstein? We know he's being held by al-Qaeda, people who posed as neighbors, knocked on his door and then pistol-whipped him and kidnapped him. This is in 2011 in Lahore in Pakistan. Who is he?
Well, he was a contractor for USAID. He worked for something called J.E. Austin Associates. And this is very interesting to look at the number of these people who are held who aren't full-time employees of the U.S. government but working on contract. President Obama and Secretary of State Kerry have been pushing hard for his release. The question is whether you can get al-Qaeda to let someone go.
Well, and that's because the U.S. government doesn't negotiate with terrorist groups. But as we just saw, they worked with another country to negotiate with the Taliban to release Bo Bergdahl. That's brought a lot of the families of these captured Americans forward.
In my view, the whole Bergdahl case is about the Obama administration trying to figure out what to do about Guantanamo and getting people out of Guantanamo. But it would naturally lead all the families to wonder, can we indeed negotiate with terrorists to make a swap or to get someone out?
That brings us to Caitlin Coleman. She was traveling in Afghanistan with her husband. She was abducted. Now her family's come forward and said, how about our daughter and son-in-law and child? Tell us more about them.
It's a heart-rending story. Caitlin Coleman is married to a Canadian, Joshua Boyle, and was pregnant when she went missing in Afghanistan and apparently has had the child. A video claiming to be associated with Taliban captors say they have her. You know, it's interesting about families, both in the case of ordinary citizens, in the case of journalists. Families sometimes want to keep it out of the news to protect people, but at a certain point, they want to turn up the heat by calling attention to the case.
Well, and in the case of Caitlin Coleman, who we mentioned, the young woman from Pennsylvania, it gets very, very complicated very quickly because they were said to be hiking. Her husband's former wife is the sister of a former Guantanamo detainee who allegedly received training from al-Qaeda.
There are two really important Guantanamo implications. One is the United States is trying to get its citizens freed. There are those, whether they be terrorists or governments, who say, well, you know, who are you to ask us to release people when you're holding people incommunicado? There's also the complication of U.S. citizens who may flirt or play footsie with terrorist groups. I don't want to say that any one of the people we've talked about, whether Bergdahl or someone associated with Caitlin Coleman, had bad ties. But there are complicated situations where they may be communicating with the terrorists, and we need to get to the bottom of the details.
Right. Well, those that are being held in countries, Kenneth Bay comes to mind. He's charged with evangelizing against the government in North Korea. What is the U.S. doing about that situation?
Well, presumably more than Dennis Rodman did when he visited and didn't make any criticism or effort to help. But he's been moved to a hospital due to his poor health, and we should consider his situation quite dire.
Then you have Alan Gross, who's being held in Cuba. He was arrested in Cuba in 2009. His family has been vociferous in protesting and asking the government to help. What's his story?
Well, here's another case of someone working for a contractor for USAID, not directly for the U.S. government. He was detained after allegedly distributing communications technology to Jewish dissident groups in Cuba. Is accused of working to undercut the rule of the Castro brothers and was sentenced to 15 years. He's a political football.
Well, and what about journalists, particularly held in Syria?
Yeah, there are a number of them. It's become one of the most dangerous places to serve the honorable role of shedding light on what's going on in a humanitarian calamity. It's tremendously dangerous. One of my students at Georgetown University was just one of those journalists, and it's hair-raising to think what she and others have undergone. You know, we were talking about the status of contractors not being full-time employees of the U.S. government and whether they're going to be protected the way a soldier or a full-time USAID worker would be. So, too, journalists rely on stringers and freelancers, and there are lots of freelancers who are in danger. There are even some journalistic businesses that are just saying they're not going to take photographs or stories that they didn't solicit because they don't want to get people into trouble.
Well, I know you don't want to say the identity of your student because a lot of this happens and then it gets negotiated and it's over and you don't want to bring attention to these people who are still working. But are there names that we can share?
Austin Tice, he was reporting for the Washington Post and the McClatchy newspapers. He crossed into Syria, spent time with the rebels, and was seized.
And then there's a name that you rarely hear. There was a spasm of reporting. It's U.S. Marine Andrew Tomaresi. Since May, he's been held in Mexico when he allegedly made a wrong turn driving near the Mexican border, crossed into Mexico with firearms in his car. He's facing 21 years in prison. Your thoughts on that case?
It's always possible that someone can make a mistake and that they have, you know, firearms in their vehicle. But it is not someone who is in combat who you know, there's this special moral imperative to rescue at any cost. But, you know, we should always be concerned about the welfare of Americans who are being held abroad.
Mark Lagun, professor at Georgetown University School of Foreign Service and, again, adjunct senior fellow for human rights at the Council on Foreign Relations. Mark, thanks so much.
Pleasure being with you, Robin.